There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm in the mood for Jesus. How about that? Okay, today's date, it's a Wednesday, and we're doing a live show. That's a Jim Hockaday show. Jim will be with you in just a second. It's the 28th of March, 2012, and we're going to spend the next 60 minutes trying to help each other. I want you to help us, and I want us to help you, that being Jim and myself. And I want to ask you a question. When you're in a building or you're in a church or you're reading something in a newspaper or someone is telling you something and people think it's a wonderful testimony about an instant healing or a 85-year-old, 95-pound woman lifting a school bus and saving a whole bunch of kids. When you hear about these testimonies of instant healings and should have died and didn't, and the house burnt down, but everybody made it out safe, and it's a miracle, and they don't understand it. When you hear these things, ladies and gentlemen, they're very gratifying, and they're very cheering, and they have a certain validation. But I want you to consider this question. I want you to think about this. Why are they strange? Why are they like a winning lottery ticket that just one in a couple million you hear about? Why are they strange? Is not the testimony about these rare, and I do mean rare occurrences, a testament to how many clicks off our society is, how far away the overwhelming majority of people are from even acknowledging that they're a spirit being? Because think about this. If everything was right with this world, and by the way, there's nothing right with this world because in Scripture it always talks about there's nothing good of this world, but if everything was the way it was supposed to be, we wouldn't even be doing this show. There would be no medicine cabinets. There would be no pharmacies. There would be no hospitals. There wouldn't be seatbelts in cars. There wouldn't be helmets when you ride bikes, horses, or motorcycles. They wouldn't need pads and helmets and protective gear for playing athletic sports. But the fact that when something like me walking when I was paralyzed, or someone with arthritis, or a woman who has lumps and they're cancerous and they're gone and it's a miracle and it's supernatural and it's special, the sheer words that we give them, it's supernatural, it's a miracle, it's a manifestation. The sheer fact that we make it sound special, that we think it is special, is actually very, very sad. Because the true testimony is not the curing of cancer. The true testimony isn't that this cowboy that's talking to you is walking when I was diagnosed as a paraplegic in a wheelchair for life. No, that's not the point. The point is, why did my doctor say I'm one in a million? Why is there cancer? Why is there even a need for wheelchairs and crutches? Is not the true testimony of, and the point of this is to show how far away we are? Jim.
Yes, sir.
Take it away.
Well, it's a great point. And today in Healing School, we actually covered a couple of thoughts exactly like this. which was, and hold with me here for just a second. Think of this. The Bible tells us very explicitly, and this is very absolute, that Jesus took our infirmity and he bore our sickness. If he took it and he bore it, why is there any more left in the earth?
It wasn't temporary.
No, it was final. And so you say, why is there? It's everywhere. It's because man subscribes to it. It's because man, made in the image and likeness of God, continues to believe in it, subscribe to it, and give it tangibility. If you'll think for just a moment, look at what's going on in the world today. There is so much of a need for medicine because man so subscribes to sickness and disease that it makes medicine become an object of tangibility. That's a pretty interesting thought, isn't it, BJ, that medicine has become so tangible because we subscribe to all kinds of sickness that doesn't have tangibility, but we give it tangibility.
What people, a lot of times they say, you've only been saved for, you know, almost literally just about a year. I've only really been a Christian for about a year now.
Right.
And all my prayers work. I've healed. You've seen me.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to say I've laid hands on people and pray for them because I don't. We were talking about that today.
That's cool.
You know, we were talking about how you said, remember
the lady got healed.
Yeah. And she says he didn't even really say a prayer and he didn't even touch me. But yet, you know, and I says, well, there you go, you know. And but the point is that I don't understand why people say things like, God was watching out for me because I had the best surgeon possible.
There you go. Look at the contradiction.
I'm going to have a knee replacement surgery, and we're praying that it goes well. If I live or if I die, it's God's will. These things sound very spiritual, but they're not spiritual.
No.
They're religion, they're doctrine, but what's more importantly is they're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not being critical or criticizing the individual who thinks these things or say these things. That's the real testimony of our society and our civilization.
It is.
For over a 2,000-year period, we've gone from a woman crawling on her hands and knees and literally just touching the robe of Jesus and being healed to guys crashing through roofs with somebody on a stretcher, to lepers and blind people being healed and never even having any real religious beliefs at all, just saying, I need to find this guy because when I do, I'll be healed because I believe in him and it's the right thing to do.
That's right.
And 2,000 years later, we got buildings everywhere, millions of dollars. Religion is big business.
Right.
It's right up there with automobiles and cars and socks and underwear. But yet, the more advanced civilization becomes,
okay,
the more civilized we become,
yeah,
the more religious we are, and we lose our spirit.
Yeah.
We lose the ability to be spiritual.
Well, today at the ranch when we were talking, remember I shared with you about my friend, Pastor Nathaniel, that is just having some amazing and wonderful experiences down in Peru. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah.
And he made the comment about how he's witnessed now multiple, like 90 blind people have been healed, and he's seen multiple people that couldn't walk, paralyzed, made whole. And these are things that are just instantly happening right there before his eyes.
And
you remember the comment that we made, which was a great comment. Which,
what I said.
Well, yeah, think about this. And I made the comment to you what he said, which is from a practical standpoint, it's a good statement. But
it's a great statement.
But more clearly,
I think I know what you're going to say.
Well, he said, look at the hunger. I've never seen such hunger of these people. And the statement you made is, it's not so much it's hunger.
No.
It is,
they're not distracted.
There you go. You've never seen such people disconnected, or so many people that are not distracted. And that's a better way of seeing it. And this goes along with, BJ, what you just said. Think about society and being civilized. Now, these people are way less civilized.
No microwaves.
There you go. And it backs them down to a place of less distractions, which makes what? Which makes them it easier for them to experience spiritual truth.
I would bet a shiny new dime, Jim, that the majority of those 90 people probably didn't have indoor plumbing.
No, and you know what else they didn't have? They didn't have Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Folks, I've said this before on the show, and I want you to think about this. When you hear about these supernatural miracles and things that happen, it's always people that are homeless, they're low income, they're below the poverty line, or they're children, or they're senior citizens, or they're in a hospital and things are bleak. What do all those people have in common that you and I don't have? That is they have a lot of free time. They're almost virtually disconnected from what I like to call the game, the world. They don't have jobs.
Right. They're
not in it. They don't have the dramas. They're not worried about paying bills. Their minds are free and clear. And when their minds are free and clear, it allows the Spirit to come through their heart to take command of their mind and
yes.
say, what if and maybe there has to be something more? I'm receptive to it. And 1, 2, 3, bam, it's there.
Yeah.
But when you're thinking about paying bills and you're going to your job and you're wondering about what you're going to eat, where you're going to live and what's going on, and you're competitive and you're angry and you're upset and you have dramas and you have issues, all those things seem important, but they're only important to this world.
Right.
And the only thing that makes them important is they're keeping you from Christ.
Right. Right.
They're keeping you from being happy.
Yeah.
You're being disconnected. Discombobulated, confused, and separated, that you're so busy trying to live your life that you don't get to enjoy your life.
Here's an interesting thought, BJ, that goes along with that. And while you were just talking, I thought of this. We haven't necessarily discussed this, but it certainly makes sense. And that is, you know how much the Word of God, there's so many passages that talk about renew your mind. Well, think about that. We're always trying to get another scripture in our mind, which in one sense is fine. But look at it from a different perspective. If there's so much emphasis to renew your mind, think about what he's trying to say to be renewed from a mind that is worldly centered,
right,
that has the trap of society attached to it, where it's confused, where it's distracted,
right,
and where there's a distortion.
Yeah.
Be renewed to the simplicity of Christ. In fact, that gives new meaning to Jesus saying, you're going to love this. Remember when he said over in Mark chapter 10, when the disciples said, hey, Lord, all these kids are around us. Shouldn't we tell them to leave? And Jesus said, whoa, back off, guys. It's these children that have it right. And unless you come unto me as a child, you'll know no means by entering into the kingdom of heaven. What's he trying to say? He's saying, look at the innocence and the simplicity.
No drama, no issues.
And the openness of their heart to receive. And so we always want to, you know, religion's interesting. It always wants to take something good and mess it up, put a spin on it. You know, it's kind of like...
Well, it's because it's the only way they can keep you and hold you.
Yeah.
You know, I say this all the time, a real church should have a drive-up window, and it should have those old-fashioned doors that used to spin in department stores, because you don't want to, you're not supposed to hang out in a church. You're supposed to go to a church once in a while and say, I healed this, I did that, I saw grace do this, God said this, and you share stories with each other.
Yeah.
But a building is where you collect disconnected people that want something that they're not getting it. They're not being shown how to get it. And what's really sad is they don't know.
Right.
They don't know that they're being hoodwinked.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the person running the building doesn't have some nefarious, infamous thing. They're fooled too.
Yeah. Well, this weekend when I was preaching, I mentioned some things along that line, BJ, and it was very, very interesting. Talk about a deer in a headlight. I mean, the look on the faces when I began to share some things concerning the way that the world entraps us, and how that religion wants to always keep us at the threshold without going over into the experience of God, and how easy it is to come to church, and the whole mindset of church is actually sitting there and listening, which even that, if you think about it, it doesn't add up, because for the majority of people, what they've just heard, they can't even tell you what it was by the time they get to the parking lot.
No.
But they have a good feeling that something was wonderful. But that good feeling, if it can't be translated into the end game, which is meeting God and being confident, and that's, folks, there's a reason why we're talking tonight about the word with, being with God, or God being with us. There is an end game here. There is a purpose to be fulfilled, and it's not just having a service. It's the relationship where someone gets to experience God.
Right.
It changes everything, doesn't it?
Well, it's like... do you think that guy's listening that went to Peru? Do you think he's listening?
Well, I don't think he's listening now, but he will. I sent him a text.
Okay, because he said, when you asked him, he says, what do you think? And he says, I'm a wreck. I feel wrecked.
Yeah, he said, after seeing all of this, I'm wrecked. And, I don't know what I'm going to do.
And what I said was, and this is when I brought up what a real testimony is, and I says, think about this. You've been operating, operating a building for 22 years. And what you believe that water's wet, the sky's blue, and dirt's hard and dirty and dry. And you go to Peru, and all of a sudden, things people are seeing instantaneously, like biblical times. It's just instant. There's no fuss, no muss,
right.
Nothing special. Just, hi, show up. You're blind. You want to see? Okay, you see. And this is the only time in 22 years, and you've dedicated your life to trying to be spiritual, to try to guide and teach people, but 22 years into it, you go to a different country, and all of a sudden you see all this. And the reason I thought that was very intelligent of him, and he sounds like a good guy to say that I'm a wreck,
mm-hmm.
because what it means is he's doing a self evaluation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if I was him, the first question I'd say is, you know, I've been in a building for 22 years, and why haven't I ever seen anything like this?
Yeah, think of how good that is. And I'm actually
I think he's an extremely lucky man.
Yeah.
Because there are so many men and women in his position that are running buildings all over the face of the planet that do not have the opportunity to repent. Now, this is what repent means. Notice, folks, I said the word repent. He shouldn't feel guilty. He shouldn't feel sad. He should actually be elated, like he just won the lottery. It's
yes.
his birthday.
Yes.
And someone gave him $1 million for his birthday, because
yeah.
repent actually means change directions.
Right.
If you're going to the right and someone says go to the left, say, okay, I'll repent. Go to the left.
Yeah.
If you start using it that way, thinking of that word right there, it's going to be so much easier for you to come to be closer to the guys, to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the three of them, the guys. That's what I call them. And the reason is because repent means change direction.
Yeah.
Repent means that obviously it's not working.
Right.
So you need to make a change. When he said, I'm a wreck, and he starts reflecting on 22 years in the United States and a couple of hours in Peru, well, if he repents, can you imagine how fast that building of his can be a church? He could literally stand up in front of the group and say, by the way, we're all going to repent. We're going in a different direction. This is why. This is what I saw. This is what I experienced. And by the way, we should be doing it right here today.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's the Holy Spirit. That's grace.
Yeah, it is grace. And that's 18 years ago. That's exactly what I did. I got on my face and said, Lord, I'm the problem here. You're going to have to change me. And I found this to be so, that the grace of God and the work of the Holy Ghost is always invited into a person's life when there's a surrender. And this is one of the beautiful things. And of course, my good friend that had this experience, I'm thrilled for him, because he's been over the years, to me, such a godly example of someone that has such an amazing heart for God and has always followed the Lord. And now look at some of the experiences he's just had. What it's doing to him, I can only imagine, and it's going to be great to see the outcome of how he takes this back to the United States and what can happen in his church.
The harsh, the more time you spend with me, the more you do this radio show, people say, boy, you're tough. You're harsh. You're real absolute. There's an email. It came in 3 days ago to the Abiding Presence website. I mean, our email address, theabidingpresence.com. You can send us an email. And his name is Richard. That's all I'm going to say. This is what it says. Hello, Jim and BJ. Thank you a billion times for your radio show. I have been listening to it for about a month, and revelation has come in that completely changed my life. Jim, I have been following your awesome ministry for many years, and I'm so grateful that the revelation of grace you are ministering is being preached at this time. BJ, I appreciate your testimony and the boldness and the absolute mentality you have. I also have started thinking this way since I have first heard your testimony, and I'm already starting to see results.
Yeah, that's it.
If you guys had only been here 5 years ago, many mistakes would have been avoided. Thank you guys for helping me see God more clearly. Yeah. Now, when we break this down, he says the boldness and the absolute mentality. Those are polite words for conviction.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, remember, folks, I've told you before that conviction is the child of faith and hope. It's nice that you hope there's a God. It's great that you have faith that there's Jesus, but do you have conviction? Are you convinced thoroughly down to the core of your soul that grace is yours, that you don't need to be healed because there's not supposed to be anything wrong? That's conviction, and that's what he has. And I wanted to interject this because it was good.
It's great, and I like the words that he used too. In fact, I want to share this.
Thanks, Richard.
And thank you, Richard. I share this a lot when I'm teaching, and we start talking about absolutes. BJ, it's a very interesting thing. Immediately, people, you can sense the room. You've been a public speaker for a long time. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You can feel people. You can feel emotions in a room when you're speaking. And immediately when you get very absolute, everything gets very quiet. And you can even look on some people's faces. And I try not to make I try not to look at their faces and come up always with an answer because some people are just thinking.
Right.
But my point is this. I always have to, when I see that, go back and help them. And I'll say this. I'll say, now some of you are struggling with this absoluteness. You say, this is so tough. This is so straight. And you think it's hard, but you need to change the way you think because it's wonderful. And that's what Richard just found out. The absoluteness is what makes it happen every time, all the time, every day for you. And to live a life where every day, all the time, for you, you can count on the absoluteness of God bringing answers is not tough. It's the sought-out reality that we're all looking for.
Here's another email that we got 5 days ago on the 23rd of March. From a nice lady named Ashley. It says, hey, Jim and BJ, your show fills the empty holes in my understanding of my relationship with God.
Hmm.
Now think about that. Your show fills the empty holes in my understanding of my relationship with God. Now I want to focus on something here, folks. I don't want you to think about the show. I want to take this out. Filling the empty holes in my understanding of relationship with God. It makes me understand how to really have a relationship with God. I am hungry for more of the real stuff that helps me to have a real relationship with God in real life. It is like a detox from all the wrong, religious, confusing thoughts and understandings. It is like a detox from all the wrong, religious, confusing thoughts and understanding. Thank you for helping me to refocus on what is a real and important in my relationship with God. Now, notice the word refocus because, folks, focus doesn't mean concentrate. The word focus comes from cameras, from actually photography, and it means to clarify.
Right.
It means to bring something in to clarity. And she's using the word spiritually and grammatically correct. Thank you for helping me to refocus on what is real and important in my relationship with God. Because you can take the word refocus and say, change my mind.
Yeah. Or thank you for helping to give me maximum clarity.
I repented.
Yeah. She's seeing something.
Yes. Way to go, Ashley.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Ashley, that's so important.
And it fits right in with what you're saying.
It does. It's so important with where we're headed tonight, just talking about God's presence being with us, because we want people to understand and see how important it is to get past the religious concepts of spinning in a circle with a concept of God instead of actually experiencing God. Last week, we made some of these thoughts and we talked about needs and wants. But this week, I want you to really think for just a moment here as I share a scripture with you. And if you'll notice here, when Jesus speaks, in fact, I know, and this is pretty cool, BJ, when you just brought up the whole idea of getting saved, actually, it was almost 1 year to this week almost that you got born again and that you were saved. And I want to share this awesome scripture because I know that I made some of these comments when BJ was in some of those classes last year and then so quickly began to accelerate in his relationship with God. And it says right here in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus has now come out of the grave. He's been raised up. And it said, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We don't want to take the time to embellish this too much, but I'll just make this quick comment, observation. If Jesus has all authority, that means the devil has none. You literally need to not be concerned with the devil ever again. In fact, we don't even like to use his name on this program because it gives him too much credit or tangibility. He has none. He's a non-issue. It goes on to say, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Notice Jesus didn't say, gather yourselves together for 15 weeks in a row and never come out and see the sun. He put the emphasis on, go and share this authority. Use the grace of God in the world. And then he went and said this, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, in other words, here's my last thought. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. He's saying here, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Now think about that. This whole idea of God being with us always, never leaving us and never forsaking you, I've found to be one of the greatest resources throughout the Old Testament, through the Gospels, and into the New Testament as the condition that makes people be extremely bold and extremely confident about the tangibility of God's power and grace. What is it? That God will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. There is something about Christianity where we've left off the end of the game. We've actually taught people that it's okay to have a form of religion. It's okay to come to church and hear messages and feel good, but never experience the end result of what you're hearing. And that is a worldly concept that has come from the world. You've got to see that the world is actually excited about grading on a curve. Well, they love to grade on a curve, but God doesn't grade on a curve.
There is no curve.
No curve at all.
No, but see, and a lot of times people say, why are you so cynical? And I say, I'm not cynical. I'm just looking at things from a spiritual standpoint, knowing that there's nothing good of this world. You know, it's not, I want you to think about organized religions, no matter what they are, and all these buildings and all the countries on the face of the planet, and not just the one that you go to, and think about over 2,000 years. It doesn't serve the world. It doesn't serve the building. It doesn't serve the religious organization, whatever it is. Whether it's Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, whatever it is, you know, there's millions of them. It doesn't serve their needs to provide you with everything that you need and then say, okay, go, we're done, next. Because that's not good business. Good business is repetitive, repeat business. Because when someone is worried about money, asking you for money, perpetuating money, putting money into buildings, parking lots, and signs, and furnishings, and speakers, and movie theaters, and carpets, and drapes, and whatever else they do, well, where is the clarity? What picture is clear to them?
Right.
Where is that focusing going on? It's focusing towards business, because good business, ladies and gentlemen, is good religion. You want to fill the chairs. You want to fill the congregation. You want to have the most people in your community. You want to have the biggest, best building. Well, sure, that's good business, but it has nothing to do spiritually.
Yeah. Yeah, BJ, let's stay on this for just a second, even though I want to come back to, you know, the whole idea about God being with us. But since you said that, let's stay on this for a moment. And again, I don't want to be cynical either, but let me make this comment. I've said this for a long time as I've looked from an interesting perspective as a minister, and I travel from church to church to church, and I'm not pointing a finger at anyone, but here's my comment. I've said this for a long time. You've heard me say it, that one of the number one problems we have in the church is people's love for money, or the
recognition,
love for money. They need finances. It is more being treated like a business. We've got to have more people because our finances is down. We need an extra service. We can't tell the people at Christmas to enjoy their Wednesday when tomorrow is Christmas Eve, because we have to have them here because we've got to meet the budget. Now, all of that, whether we like it or not, and we're not being cynical, folks, listen to it from a spiritual perspective. All of this, and BJ, this is the interesting part I wanted to share. It is learned behavior.
It comes
from the way the church was an institution years and years and years and years ago. And this is exactly how the church institutionalized began, where it was more about money and more about keeping people in a place of having to come back, and they had to go to the person who was in charge to find God. It goes back to hiding the Bible during the Dark Ages. I mean, all of this is perpetuated.
This is right on point. We're not away from the point. This is on point. Because if you're so busy with all your energy and efforts and mindset on everything that we're talking about, God isn't with you.
Yeah.
There's no room for God.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking about worldly things.
Yes.
And you're shutting them out. So this is on point. Because I say this all the time, the Spirit doesn't multitask.
Yeah.
Either you're all about it or you're not. There's no middle ground. It goes right back to that absoluteness.
Yes.
Because it tells you, if you're not supposed to worry about where you sleep, what you wear, what you do, and it says, well, I take care of the birds and the bees.
Right.
You don't think I'm going to take care of somebody that's going to do greater works than me and is made in my image? Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Well, if that's true, which it is, that's scripture, not doctrine, then what does that actually say when you break it down and you look at it rationally and logically from a spiritual standpoint?
Mm-hmm.
It means if you're busy with all these things that we just talked about in a building, there's no room in your heart or your mind for Christ.
Right.
Because you're filled with all these other things.
Yes.
If you have one building and your goal is to have another building on the other side of town, where's the energy going? Where's the efforts?
Well, and of course, and here's you know, I'll answer that a couple different ways. You know, from the perspective of how we've viewed the church and we've viewed our religious ideas, most would say the energy there is we want to reach more people. But then the other side is, what are we actually giving people? Because we've said this before on the show, and I know this is going to be really hard too, but again, it's a perfect way to help people actually be excited about the things that you can glean from this show, and that is this. If people that are in the churches, in the seats, if the majority of them have no prayers answered and there's no real contact with God, and their religious idea of church is more listening to the sermon and worshiping a concept of God, but not actually experiencing Him, then we've got to ask this question. So we want to have three more churches and reach more people, but then what are you actually giving the people? Are the people walking away with prayers answered, an experience with God, with great confidence because they're actually walking in the grace of God on a regular basis, and they're experiencing this wonderful revelation that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. We've made these comments before, folks. Grace is like breathing air. It's everywhere, and so is God. Now, when people have that kind of experience, and you say, well, I don't know too many people that do. Well, then that's our point. Our point is, in our churches, we need to be teaching people to have that type of an end game where they're actually getting there, experiencing God. For themselves, they're having answers. And then we encourage them, go out now and share this, experience it, bring back testimonies, and that'll only bring a greater sense of God's awareness to everybody. Now, that right there that I just described is the way a church should function. So these things that we're talking about, wow, I know they sound sharp. They sound really absolute. And guess what? They are. And the only reason why absoluteness would be looked at with a cross eye is because we've become so used to the compromise of the world that we've lost our point of reference to realize how God is so absolute, and it's to our benefit for Him to be that way.
Yeah, this shouldn't make you sad. This information you should consider, and you should think about it over the next couple days, and it should actually give you a very nice, peaceful feeling, because this is part of the recipe that allows you to be closer to your Father, to be closer to Christ.
Yes, it is.
It does sound harsh, and it does sound absolute only to this world and to the flesh. But to the Spirit, it's the sound of the hinges on the door squeaking as your spirit opens up the door to be with Christ.
Yeah.
Because the more you consider this, the more you think about this, the happier it's going to be, because this is part of those stepping stones. These are the rungs on that ladder. This is part of your Ranger theory, all the letters for consideration and the theories that Jim and I have written. This is one of those gems that allows you to literally sit or lay in your house. You can float in your bathtub, whatever you want to do that makes you comfortable. You can be at a red light. I don't know. I don't care. But if you consider these things, all of a sudden, that feeling in the pit of your stomach is going to be gone.
Yes.
You may weep, you may giggle, but all of a sudden you're going to say, you know what? Thank you.
Yes.
You're not going to thank Jim. You're not going to thank me, but you're going to thank yourself.
Yes.
Because what you have just done is you have experienced what true repenting is.
Yeah. I had a lady today, BJ, asked me a question, or she made a statement. She said, after listening to what we preach, she said, this is exactly what I've been looking for. And she said, I just want to have a closer relationship with God. I just want to experience this more, and I'm going to really work at this. And I said, well, here's an interesting thought. I said,
don't work.
You're there.
Yeah.
And I said, you're already ruining the opportunity to experience it by actually giving more tangibility to not being there than actually being there. And I said, here's an interesting thought. I said, the easiest way to experience Him is to just cut yourself away from things that are of this world, and instantly you go there, because it's one or the other. And the other day at church, this is one of the things, illustrations I gave. You know what it's like when your oven's real hot. Maybe you got a pizza in there, you got some bread in there or something, you're baking something, and you open it to see what's inside, and you lean your face down there, and you get this huge rush of what? Hot air.
Yeah.
I told people, I said, the moment you start cutting yourself away and become more simple from this world, it's like making an about face, and the first thing you feel is, this amazing rush of hot air, which is called what? The grace of God.
Grace, I give you my solemn word. I promise you that everyone that hears this show on this live broadcast tonight on the 28th of March, or you listen to it as it streams for free 24 hours, 7 days a week until next Wednesday night's broadcast, I promise you, wherever you are, when you listen to this show, if you disconnect from the world, you will instantaneously be connected with Christ, because grace is always with you. It's always with you. Somebody told me once, they says, well, you said that grace is like your shadow. Well, what happens at night? I says, your shadow is still there. You just can't see it, because as soon as you walk by a light or you turn a flashlight on, there's your shadow.
Right.
And they said, well, that's clever. And I says, well, it's not just clever. It's true.
Isn't it interesting? People always are trying to make it be clever.
Well, because if they make it clever, if they think it's a trick,
yeah.
If they think that it's the what I like to call the lottery ticket, one in a billion.
Right.
Well, then there is, it opens up the door where misery loves company.
Sure.
And negative energy can say, well, you might as well feel bad, because this just doesn't happen to everybody.
It's an excuse to stay where you're at.
Yes, it's easy. It's like you know you've gained 15 pounds. It's easier to go buy one size bigger pants than it is to go on a diet. It is.
Yeah, sure.
And say, you know what? These are the same pants. It's only one size bigger. Nobody will know. And I still look the same and they feel the same. It's just one size.
Right.
And before you know it, all of a sudden, you're at Omar the Tent Maker. And, you know, you're wearing pants big enough to cover a bass boat. And you say, where did I gain this weight?
Yeah.
Well, take it in reverse. If you just say, what if and maybe, and you open your eyes and you open your heart to grace, before you know it, grace is going to do the same thing.
Yes.
You're going to wonder if it's there. Then you're going to feel it's there. You're going to see it. And then you're going to use it. And all of a sudden, grace is going to be the world's greatest multi-tool.
Yes. In fact, you'll have an experience where you'll talk to somebody that's not using it, and it'll bring back memories of what it was like to not use it, because all you can think of now is using it. And it'll give you such an amazing feeling to realize, oh my goodness, I'm actually including God in everything that I do. Folks, this is a really great thought right here. I'm going to just go ahead and say again, according to the scripture we gave you over in Matthew 28 and 18, how that Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Do you know that when you look at God being with people from the Old Testament, like we said, to the Gospels, to the New Testament, it always was a story that seemed to encompass people being greatly used by God, extremely bold, and very, very confident in their walk with the Lord, able to step beyond the world that they see, trust the Lord, and experience great, wonderful spiritual experiences that we call miracles, signs, and wonders. I want to give you a thought from Moses when he was talking with the Lord. And here's an interesting thought, the very fact that he was talking with the Lord. This is actually a very normal spiritual experience, to talk with your Father. So this, you know, what most people today are seeking that really want a greater relationship with the Lord, I want you to know that it's a very, very normal thing to do and to have. Notice what was being said here. And God said, my presence will go with you. This is Exodus 33 and verse 14. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said to the Lord, please show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will allow my goodness to pass before you. Well, this is a great story, folks, that helps you to see how Moses, because he was having experiences with God, recognized how important it was that God was always there, that his presence was always in his midst, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was something that he and the children of Israel used. It was the thing that separated them from every other nation, God's presence. And folks, today on this side of the covenant, because of Jesus Christ, we literally can experience God all day long. Pretty awesome thought.
Yeah.
That's really where the confidence comes, where the excitement of a relationship comes.
I want to give you something else to consider. When in Scripture it says, you will do greater works than me, you'll do greater works than I. Does that mean that you're going to walk on water, that you're going to separate a local river, creek, stream, or pond to help people across it? Probably not. What it means is that the effort, the sheer effort, and piles of stuff. And remember, folks, twice a day I have to shovel stuff out of my barn because the horses manufacture a lot of it. It means the greater works. What you're going to do that's greater than Jesus is that you're going to have to separate yourself from a money-hungry, possession, material, flesh world. They didn't have to do that in the time of Jesus. Think of it. The only thing that people did in the time of Jesus was they would get up when the sun rose and they would go to sleep when the sun went down, because candles and oil lamps were a luxury that they didn't use all the time, and they spent all day long doing nothing but worshiping and working their fields,
right,
and baking bread and eating it.
Right.
They had a very simple existence. And since they weren't clouded with all the things that we have in our lives that we buy, purchase, use, and covet and hold, well, their minds were open. They were open to suggestion, what if, maybe, consideration. A whole lot easier to repent, and you know now that repent means change direction, do something different. Our day-to-day lives are almost like that drawer in the kitchen that you never want anybody to open, because once you open it, it takes you 10 minutes to close it.
Right.
Our lives are like junk drawers. And if we eliminate that junk, then there's free time, free will, what if and maybe, easy to repent, and then it's simple and easy, and God is in your life.
Yeah, when Paul made the comment that if sin abounds, and when sin or where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds much more. Paul's trying to help us there understand something, a couple things that he's saying. He's trying to tell us that in the days to come and the years to come, there's going to be an abounding of sin. It's just the normal progression of society. The more things that we have that are visible, that are tangible, the more the eye lusts and covets and wants, because society's making all the cool gadgets of life. It doesn't mean you can't have them, but notice how easy it is to get so overwhelmed with them that we get distracted. And Paul's trying to say the more distractions that come where people fall into sin and they live in sin, the more you'll find that the grace of God is there. So I want to encourage you with something. As much as we share some of these things about society, and it certainly does bring to light the kind of day that we're living in, I want you to know that the simple acknowledgement of God and His grace, the simple idea of saying, I'm going to change, Lord, help. Lord, I can't do this. I need your help. Just the simple acknowledgement of God, immediately, the grace of God, which is greater, which is more sufficient than anything of this world. I love the scripture that John used where he said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Notice he's making the contrast to the world, to Satan that's in the world, versus God and our spiritual relationship. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Folks, I know that this world has many entrapments, but aren't you glad that the grace of God is abundant and in greater sufficiency, greater ability, It is more abundant than anything that this world can throw at you. This is a wonderful thought, and I want to encourage you with these thoughts here tonight. The Bible says over in Acts in chapter 10 and verse 38, Peter was talking, and he said how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all the people. For what? For God was with him. And there you have it. Isn't it interesting that Jesus walked in the same premise of what we're talking about? He stayed simple. He stayed in a place where he wasn't full of distractions. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was with him all the time. And guess what he did? He healed people. He set people free from the devil's entrapments. And he did it, and help me with this, didn't he make it look easy? He did. Everything Jesus did, it didn't look like he was struggling to do it. It looked like it was so natural, like that's the way it was supposed to be. And Jesus came to demonstrate to us what it's like to have God in your life, what it's like to have God living in your human body. And he demonstrated it through the grace of God. And this is a great thing to look at. When you see Christ, you can see the pattern of us experiencing the same thing. And BJ, I like what you said when you said the greater works. It really does have a lot to do with the fact that there are going to be greater obstacles, and the greater works have a lot to do with the obstacles that we will have to maneuver through in this world to become extremely simple and allow spiritual things to become normal and natural and regular.
Yeah, this should be a very comforting show to listen to Jim and what he's telling you, because now you have more ammunition, you have more tools, you have more verification in your life to understand that when you think it should be different, when you feel it should be different, that if you consider this, you'll know that it is different.
I like that.
There's nothing... There isn't anything that you can't overcome as long as you realize that you need to overcome it. Think about it. Just think about that. Consider that. Jim, we're down to about 8 minutes, and
right.
I want you to wind this down to give people something really to think about.
Yeah.
And then I want you to end with a prayer to help people to have the patience and the understanding to consider
yes.
this show.
Yes.
Because this is an individual thing. There are men, women, and children that are going to listen to this broadcast right now tonight and over the next 7 days. And what you have to realize is that you're going to have to first consider yourself and your own relationship, because if you don't have a relationship yourself that is effective and working with your Father, it's literally impossible for you to help a loved one.
Right.
Because then it's just going to be like a building, the blind leading the blind.
Right.
Everybody's confused and they don't even know it.
Yeah. Back at the beginning of this year, I had a wonderful night. In fact, it was when my family and I and my wife, Erin, we were all in Idaho for Christmas. And I woke up from a dream, and this was one of the ones I could tell was a spiritual dream. It's kind of interesting, folks. I've been starting to have dreams, and the Bible says the old men will dream dreams and the young men will see visions. So I don't know what that's saying. But anyhow, it was a dream, and I woke up from it, and this is what the dream was. In the dream, I found myself having experience all throughout the day where the Holy Spirit was sitting on my shoulder, following me around. And the best way that I could say it is, it was kind of like a parrot sitting on a pirate's shoulder. I mean, he was literally there in my ear and right by my face all day long. Now, again, this is in my dream. And I found myself having multiple conversations in the dream. And as I was having those conversations, the Holy Spirit was almost nonstop giving his opinion, commenting, answering the question before I could answer it. In other words, I could hear him almost nonstop all day long talking, giving opinions about things, making observations about things. Questions were being answered, and I'm staring at somebody getting ready to give an answer. At one point, I looked back at him, and I said, I can't hear myself think. Hold on for a second. I need to give this person an answer. Now, you may think that to be really strange, but when I woke up, here's my experience. Literally, God was all over me. It was like, okay, he's in this room, like he's right here. And it was so tangible, his presence. And even to this day, I find myself having those experiences now much more regularly because my heart is opening to the experience of God instead of a concept of God. I want to encourage you so much that God didn't send Jesus for us to have an idea about someone we call God, like me studying Napoleon and saying, oh, I know all about him. I've studied everything about him. But do you know him? Well, I know about him, but have you met him? No. Have you experienced the way that he talks? Well, no, I just have read some things about what he said. Well, there's a huge difference. And we've allowed ourselves to actually have that become our Christianity. Folks, God, he sent Jesus, and Jesus paid an enormous price. And that was his very life. And he shed his blood. And 2,000 years ago, from the very time that we're entering into where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of it was not for us to say, oh, I just love God, I just worship him. It was for us to actually talk with God and experience God every day and hear God speak to us and enjoy his presence, becoming very bold about circumstance and things that people go through where they bite their nails down to where they don't even have any anymore. They're full of fear and there's so much tension and there's so much stress in the earth and anxiety. And we just don't have to have that. When we know the Lord, when he's actually with us, we actually experience him and we hear his voice. God is all around us and here for us right now. He's not somewhere out there and we've got to try to get him here. He's right here. Like I told that lady today, don't try to have this relationship. Don't try to work on it. Realize that it's here right now and your effort will work against you. Just open your heart and accept it. And I can testify that my heart is opening more and more and more, and my experiences of what we've called going home and experiencing God and seeing him and knowing him and hearing him are becoming more delightful. And guess what it's doing to my life as I have to interact with this world? It gives me great confidence. I want to pray for you here in just a moment. And I want you to feel this prayer, feel the emotion and the intent of my heart, because there's a conviction in me that God's going to touch you. He's going to arrest your soul and your spirit is going to be turned loose. And even within just moments to this very next day, you're going to start to experience that there's somebody walking with you, almost freaky-like, like you turn around and someone's right there. God is right there. Father in heaven, I am so thankful for this broadcast tonight and the way that you're revealing your intention to live with us, to talk with us, to fellowship with us. Truly, your intention, as you showed us with Adam and Eve in the garden, it's never changed. Now we can have that same amazing relationship, just like Jesus. I pray for these people that their hearts would be open, that their spirits would begin to soar, that they would begin to understand and experience the expression of your love, that you're with them at all times. They'll turn around tomorrow unexpectedly, and like that blast of the oven as you open it up, go, oh, the grace of God is everywhere. They'll have moments where they'll chuckle and they'll laugh, and maybe moments when they might even have a tear here or there as they realize, God, you really are with me and you really do care. Oh, I really am everything you say I am, healed and whole and delivered and happy and free. Father God, let them know. right here tonight how real it really is. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I know that there's healings taking place in people's bodies, especially with arthritis and pains in the bones and joints, and people's hearing is becoming better even here tonight. Oh, I thank God that that ringing in the ear is disappearing even right now. And that lack of clarity in your mind where you're struggling with your thoughts, all that's disappearing. The cobwebs are gone in Jesus' name. Just receive these healings. And those of you that need other things, just know that it's real and it's happening right now. He really is with us. He'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. BJ?
Folks, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure that you check out the Abiding Present website. Also, when you go to the About the host, you'll be able to link up and go to Jim's personal website. And we will be here next Wednesday night. And make sure that you email us, send us letters. We check the P.O. box every once in a while. And take care of yourselves, take care of your pets, and just consider what you've heard and try to put it to use. And we'll see you again. Good night.
Have a good week.